Once upon a time, in the place where your home sits now, there was a young girl who lived in a small village that sat on the outskirts of the wild woods. When she was born, the girl's mother wove a beautiful headband for her. It was made of silk and lace and was the color of the golden sun pouring out over honey, and of the bright yellow harvest moon, and of the candles that flickered in the deep night when the snowy winds howled. This woven headband of silk and lace earned the girl the nickname Golden Locks, and so she was known throughout her village. It was not allowed for young children, especially young girls, to go into the woods by themselves, for the villagers all swore that the animals in this forest were keenly intelligent, tricky, and liked nothing better than to devour sweet and tender little children. But this young girl kept dreaming about the forest and those who lived within it, especially the bear people. Finally, after the third night of dreaming, she woke up as the sun began to crest over the treetops and knew that today she would go into the woods because, as her dreams had told her, the bear people still knew about magic and she wanted them to teach her. The morning widened and deepened its reach into the day, and the young girl put on her best deerskin shoes and her finest dress, embroidered with roses and beads and birds. She took a clay pot full of honey down from the kitchen shelf so that she might take a worthy offering to the bear people, for it was known that they deeply loved the magic that the bee people made. And so she set off walking, one foot in front of the other, into the woods. She continued walking throughout the day until night found Golden Locks cold, hungry, and tired. Finding herself in a little clearing, she looked up at the stars and the light of a crescent moon, and found herself still surrounded by the deep, dark woods. It was at this point she felt the first stirring of doubt within her breast. Was she crazy? Was this a fool's errand? Perhaps she would be devoured by the bear people, or lose her way back out of the forest and never see her family again. But she remembered her dreams and said to herself in a fierce whisper, "I will find magic." She continued walking now, with the heavenly lights blazing in her heart, and soon she discovered a stony cave hidden by moss and lichen and great trees. Golden Locks knew at once that this was the place where the bear people could be found. There was a great river rushing through the land, separating where she stood from the cave. She knew that the cave that belonged to the bear people could move with ease from one part of the forest to another, for it was as magical as they were. If that happened, she might never find it again. And so, though she was colder, hungrier, and even more exhausted than she had been, she tied up her skirts and plunged into the icy waters. Instantly, she woke up, came to her senses, and swam strong until she reached the other side of the river. Approaching the entrance to the cave, she saw that it was swept clean, and she could feel the delicious warmth of the bear people's breath on her night-chilled skin. She paused at the cave's entrance, bowed in the way of her people, and offered up the sweet honeycomb. Within the cave, three pairs of eyes blinked at her curiously. One pair belonged to the largest of the bears, battle-scarred Father Bear, who had sharp and strong teeth. Another set of curious eyes belonged to a smaller bear who had lighter fur and swollen teats oozing milk. This was watchful Mother Bear. The final pair of sleepy eyes gazed out at golden locks from the face of the smallest bear, who was just about the same size as she, and had already stuck his paw into the honey jar, licking it happily with his long pink tongue. Here then was Baby Bear. Baby Bear met Goldenlocks' eyes with his own and waited. She cleared her throat and spoke softly, just as we do in church, or temple, or any of our holy places, even today. Bear people, I have come to you today to make you this offering of honey and to ask a question. The bears blinked and were silent, waiting. This was their first teaching to Goldenlocks, and it was about taking as much time as one requires. The girl did not know if they had heard her or understood her. She did not even know if any of this was truly real, but she continued on. Bear people, I keep dreaming of you, and so I have come to seek you out. The question I have for you is this: will you teach me magic? The bear people said nothing and continued their first lesson in teaching her how to wait. And so for a long time, all four figures stood clumped together at the entrance to the cave. For magic takes time and effort and determination. The bear people were curious. Did the human girl have this? Goldenlocks waited respectfully. She would not leave and stood with her arms crossed. Mother Bear was satisfied. So she shuffled her big frame into the cave, and after a moment, Goldenlocks followed. In the center of the cave was the hearth, where the bears had their meals. There were three leaves of different sizes piled high with different berries and roots and treasures from the forest. Here, the bears paused, and Mother Bear spoke in a soft and grumbling voice, like rocks shuddering in the deep earth. Why did you come here? Goldenlocks responded immediately. My dreams told me to. Father Bear nodded. If you want to learn magic, then you must learn to find the right way for you. Which one? He gestured to the three leaves neatly encircling the hearth. She went to the first leaf, the largest, and the one that was most overflowing with all kinds of delectable bear people foods. She sniffed it and tasted a berry, considering. She went to the next leaf, softer and full of flowers, roots, and berries. She sniffed it too, inhaling the scent of the flowers so deeply that it went into her bones. Finally, she went to the smallest of the leaves. She picked it up. The roots whispered to her of old knowing and older ways. She spied a raven wing. Each leaf was lovely. Each unique. But none of them were right for her. I shall make my own. And so she did, taking a berry from Father Bear's leaf, and a flower from Mother Bear's leaf, and an old root from Baby Bear's leaf. She paused, considered, smelled and tasted, thought and felt. Finally, she nodded. "Now this is just right." The bear people said nothing, but took her back farther into the cave, where there were large boulders. Baby Bear hopped up on one of the boulders and sat as nicely as you please. Mother Bear's husky voice filled the cave once more. "In magic, you have to know when to act and how to wait. Which one?" The girl sat on the largest boulder, which had an impression in it that reminded her exactly of Father Bear's body. No matter how she shifted, she was barely comfortable. The boulder chair was hard in all places and made her think only of what was difficult and harsh. She moved to the next boulder, which was decked out in moss and lichen and was a better fit for her size. But as soon as she sat down, she sank into the dry mosses and felt that everything was too soft and gentle and easy. There was no tension here, and so there could be no balance. Standing up, she brushed the moss from her skirts. She went to the third boulder. It was covered in deerskin and fox furs, and was soft and cozy but still firm. Yet it was also small and carried the scent of Baby Bear, not her own. So she moved away a short distance, and using extra leaves and furs and arranging things just so, she made her own place to sit. This new seat had a touch of hardness, like the first boulder and like some parts of her life. But the seat also had just a touch of softness, like the second boulder, and like other parts of her life. It was warm and safe with its furs, just as she felt now in this cave. She circled around it several times, like a cat, until she was quite sure that it fit her shape precisely. Magic, too, she thought, should be like this. This one is just right. Baby Bear was finishing off the honeycomb as the bears took Golden Locks back even further into their cave. Here the air began to grow warmer, and there was the unmistakable scent of bear people musk. It was very dark, and Golden Locks began to feel a little fear crawl up her spine, as icy as the river water she had plunged into. Were the bear people taking her back here to eat her? Had this been the plan all along? Would she be devoured, her quest for magic resulting in a few white bones stripped clean of skin and meat? Baby Bear nudged her arm and gestured to three dens, which clearly were where each of the bear people rested at night. His voice was like the wind rustling through dry leaves. "Magic also requires rest and dreaming. Which one?" Golden Locks went to the first den, which was big and well-appointed and covered in the spicy scent of cedar and evergreen boughs. It smelled delicious here, but the boughs poked at her. This den was too hard, too complicated, and too difficult of a space to manage, so she moved to the next. This den was covered in flowers and soft mosses and more lichens like those on the second boulder, They were lovely and soft, but they made her sneeze and itch, and she could not feel the support of the floor. This den was too cloying, too clingy, too undefined. The third den, like the third boulder, was covered in deerskins and fox furs and was comfortable. She curled up into it, but could not fall asleep, for it did not belong to her and did not fit her quite right. So, she took up some pine boughs from Father Bear's bed, because parts of her story were sharp and clear, and some moss from Mother Bear's bed, because parts of her story were fuzzy and not yet defined, and a fur from Baby Bear's bed, because parts of her story were rich and had come after sacrifice. She circled round and round like a dog, pawing this way and that, until every branch and fold was exactly as she wanted it to be. There now, this one is just right. She snuggled down in her newly created bed, and then she promptly fell asleep. When she awoke a few hours later, a crescent moon shone down its light from a crevice in the roof of the cave, and she was startled to find three pairs of eyes watching her intently. Baby Bear put a honey sticky paw on her shoulder. Now you know magic. Now you know that it is not something you learn, but something you remember. And so she did. For a time, Goldenlocks stayed with the bear people, and they talked and sang and danced and told old stories, and she learned much more. Eventually, she returned to her village, no longer as Goldenlocks, the innocent, sugar-sweet girl child, but as headstrong, heartstrong woman with flashing dark eyes. She did know magic. She knew how to heal, how to help, and how to read signs on the wind and in the woods. And the people loved her, even though she knew that one day they may not, for they were a forgetful people. But Goldenlocks would never forget. She kept those memories safe in story, tied up close to her heart. And she learned the languages of the other peoples of the forest too. The stone people, the tree people, the fox people, the fish people. And she taught the ones who came after her how to remember their magic. Her teachings were handed down, voice to voice, person to person, life to life, with the promise that the ones who make magic would always remember how to talk to bears. And more importantly, they would know how to listen when the bears speak. And now, that is a promise I shall entrust to you. And in return, I shall tell you all about